Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of Closer Encounters, the show where you, the listener, is also the guest. I am your host, Clarence Mitchell, coming to you live from somewhere in Minnesota. Closer Encounters is streaming live from Blog Talk Radio. We are also live on Facebook, YouTube, and Google Hangouts. All of our newest updates, check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Closer Encounters Radio. Don't forget to like, follow, and share. Would you like to be a special guest on Closer Encounters? Or do you know somebody that would like to be a special guest on Closer Encounters? Then just shoot us an email at closerencounters.info@gmail.com. That's closerencounters.info@gmail.com. Have you ever witnessed a UFO? Or seen something that you just cannot explain? Or maybe you've had your very own closer encounter. You believe in the ancient alien theory? We talk about this and much, much more. If you have a story, or maybe a question that you would like to get answered, give us a call. The number here is 347-989-1008. Again, the number 347-989-1008. Give us a call here at Closer Encounters. I'd love to talk to you. And welcome back to another episode of the show where you listener with the guest. If you're tuning in with us, you know we're also live on Facebook, YouTube, and Google Hangouts. And of course, as always, if you call into the show, the number here is 347-989-1008. Alrighty. Shout out to Mike Wilson, Volby. I see he's with us. Cheryl, she's with us. Thank you for joining us. All right. Tonight is kind of an open forum night. Whatever anybody would like to talk about, or if you have questions or anything that maybe we can answer, we'll try to do the best we can anyway. Let's put it that way. I know I talked to Tim earlier. He said he's going to be here tonight, so I'm waiting for him to pop up here. Usually he's on before I am, so that's funny. Anywho, our last few shows we've had, we've done really well. Lots of people joining us and calling in and did really good, so hopefully we can keep this going. It's going to be kind of rough the next few days as I'm going back to work tomorrow, and I work 12-hour shifts. So, you know, my next show probably won't be until Monday evening, but we'll see what happens. But hopefully everything goes right. Alrighty. I was hoping, looked like I was hoping that Andre and them would be in tonight also. It's a little early yet, so maybe they'll be in. We'll see what happens. he was talking about an artifact that he wanted me to check out. And the only thing I could find was on a particular person named Bob White. It's an older story. Some of you may know about it. Some of you may not know. But he was a passenger in a vehicle who was he was actually sleeping, and the woman was driving him. She woke him up and showed him a light, you know, that was out there in the sky. And she says, you know, you got any idea what that is? You know, it's kind of weird looking. And he just assumed, you know, it was like a street lamp of some type or whatever. And he wasn't paying much attention to it, so he kind of fell back to sleep. As he got out of town, out of the back road or whatever, she woke him up again. Hey, look, you know, there's something strange going on here. So he had her turn off the lights, and this thing was so bright that they could actually drive, you know, without the headlights on and stuff. So then, for whatever reason, I don't know, I'm still trying to figure this one out, but he reached over and shut the car off and let the car coast. I don't know what that was all about or why, but I guess as they rounded the bend, they could see that the light, you know, was stationary, and as they rounded the bend, it was on the opposite side, and stuff. Well, anyway, make a long story short, I guess he got out of the vehicle, and when he did, the UFO darted off, and what appeared to be like molten lava or something of that nature had fallen out of it, and he watched it as it come down towards him, and it hit the ground, and the UFO connected up with another UFO, and away they went and disappeared. So he decided to go and find what that piece was that fell to the earth. And after he walked over the embankment, he seen where it had hit the ground, dug into the ground, made like a trench kind of thing and whatever. And he went over, and it was still pretty warm. It was pretty red hot. So, you know, he had to wait for it to cool down a little bit. And he went back to the car, got some gloves, or got a glove that he found in the trunk. Went back and picked it up. And it was about yay big. Kind of a slim pine cone shaped looking thing. And he threw it in the back of the car, and, you know, away they went. So anyway, he finally got it analyzed and stuff. He was telling people about it. And of course, a lot of people, you know, said, you're full of crap and whatever. He wound up taking a lie detector test later on, and he passed it. No problem. So everything he said was true. And when they did the analysis of the of this particular metal, where it kind of gets weird, because one place claims that it has certain elements that are not indigenous to Earth. And then another one claims, there was another study done a while back that claims that it's nothing more than a bunch of metal that come out of a machine shop someplace and was kind of like soldered together or something, you know, trying to debunk it. But you can Google it. I did post it in the Closer Encounters page. A pretty interesting story. Like I said, it is an older story. It's been around for a while. But the name of the person was Bob White, W-H-I-T-E. And you can also catch the YouTube videos. And pretty interesting, pretty interesting. So, but if anybody else knows anything more about it or whatever, you know, let me know or whatever. So, want to wave to Christina. See, she's in. Mary Jane, she's in. Hello. Good to have everybody. Yeah. So, quite a cool story. But he says, Andre told me that that wasn't the story that he was looking for, but it was better than the one he was looking for. So, there you go. But I never did find the other story that he was looking for. So, I don't know what the deal was, but that's okay. That's okay. Alrighty. While we're waiting for other ones to show up, I was hoping Tim would be in. He said he got delayed last night. He had the kids and stuff with him, and I guess he was taking care of that situation. So he was all done everything. Of course, we were already off the air, so he kind of missed the show altogether. But that's okay. Let's see here. I also had the chat room open on the Blog Talk side if anybody wanted to go in there. And you can instant message me there on Facebook. So, Joe, how are you? My man, I haven't seen you in forever. Doing good, thank you. My goodness, yeah. Good time, friend. Yeah, glad you're with us. Thank you. there was a couple of things here I wanted to find. Oh, Doc. we're talking about anything and anything. If you have a subject you want to bring up or a question or, you know, any kind of thing you want to talk about, it's kind of an open forum tonight. I was just going to go through some postings here and see what we got that's new. A lot of talk. Here's something that's really interesting. Bruce Fenton, which a lot of you may know, he's an author and stuff, and you know, kind of a archaeologist type person and whatever. He's been on a couple of TV shows, written a few books. He just came out with one. It's called The Into Africa Theory. It's about ancient man, you know, Homo sapiens and Homo erectus and Denisovians, and you know, of course he. He explains in his studies how man did not come out of Africa, as we're all taught to believe, you know, that they migrated into Africa at a much later date, and that man has been around, you know, a lot longer than originally has been perceived. So anyway, since his books and that have come out, and, you know, there's been a few other people that have been digging into this. There's been a lot of postings about new bones and stuff that they found. And they are starting to go his way. You know, they're pretty much accepting his theory and his findings, which I think is pretty interesting. So, you know, more time, I guess, will tell. Now, the question is mainstream science going to change that whole deal, or are they going to let it ride? But, you know, Mary Jane says she missed last night about reincarnation. AA had had that on the scene. Yes. Discussed that last night, and, you know, it comes way back when. Pretty interesting things, though, when you get into it. I read a couple of pages there that was on Google about it, and really makes you wonder. Cheryl says time travel sounds good too. I found something interesting. I don't know if I mentioned it or not. Says I have been reading about that too. Interesting theories. Yeah, absolutely. I found something pretty interesting that I didn't really know. We were talking about the solar eclipse the other night and stuff. And I was checking on different things there on Google and listening to different scientists, you know, and stuff, and how things work, you know, and whatever. And I'm trying to remember how that subject actually came up. It was about gravity. That's what it was. And the subject came up about gravity, and one of the questions was asked, you know, why is it that, you know, or what, how fast do you have to go, or what is it that keeps us on Earth, you know, and stuff like that, different other things. So I was kind of doing some research on it, you know, and whatever. And come to find out that there is a point of speed where you could actually levitate. But here's the kicker to this. You have to be doing 7 miles per second in order to reach that, in order to reach that, that plane. So, yeah, that's pretty quick. My next town over is 6 miles. So I'm thinking, you know, 7 miles a second, that's like from here to my next town, just like that. Pretty mind boggling when you think about it. So yeah, that's quite the deal. But anyway, they were talking, or they were asking about it, and they wanted to know, you know, how it is that things fall back to Earth, you know, the way you got to be before they don't fall back. Well, obviously, when they start some stuff up into space, you get in stages, you know, that they fall off, they do. 90% of them do fall back to Earth, and they wind up in the ocean, and of course they get fished out to be reused again. In case you didn't know that, but that does what, that is what happens to a lot of that. And then there's other pieces that don't separate until they get out of the Earth's atmosphere, where there really is no gravitational pull, and of course when it separates, it just floats around in space. And that's why now we have a lot of space junk, obviously, along with old satellites and stuff that, you know, unless they go up and actually retrieve them and bring them back or whatever, you know, they're just out there floating around doing nothing, just, you know, taking up space. But here's the thing, that, you know, I was talking about was the fact that when meteorites, you know, falling stars, asteroids, whatever, however you want to call them, when they get so close to the Earth, they don't actually start at point A and just, you know, shoot across and, you know, fall into Earth. It takes them a long time to get here. And it isn't until they get to a certain area around the Earth do they actually get caught up in that gravitational pull. And because of that is where they actually get sucked in. It's not really the force of the meteor itself from falling or, you know, floating around out there. It's from Earth itself and it's spinning and the rotation that it's doing all at the same time that it's actually grabbing that piece of rock and bringing it in. And a lot of times, you know, you'll see them posted on YouTube. You'll get that fireball that, you know, shoots across the horizon until it lands, you know, wherever. And people go out and find it, you know, or chunks of it or whatever, if it don't burn up before it hits the ground, obviously. But, pretty crazy stuff. But, yeah, it sucks it in, exactly, yeah. So, there's Andre. How you doing, buddy? We were just talking about you. But, yeah, 7 miles a second. If you were to get in a vehicle, you know, spaceship, whatever, I don't know, and get off the ground, and you can project yourself at 7 miles per second, there is where you would hit your anti-gravity plane, so to speak. So whether you're in the Earth's atmosphere or not, the speed has to be 7 miles a second. Now, which leads me to another point. You hear a lot about UFO sightings and how quick they are. You know, blink of an eye, 1 second you see them, 1 second you don't, this and that and whatever. Now, if that is the case, maybe they are doing anti-gravity propulsion. You know, if they're able to fly at a rate of 7 miles a second, you know, I don't know. It's just a thought. Hello to the guest that's in the chat room. How are you? So, I mean, if anybody has any ideas on it, shoot it out there, because I'd like to know, you know. Doc says, yeah, that's more factor of speed, you know. This is more of a factor of speed, yeah. Hello, Sid. How are you, sir? 7 miles a second. I just can't really put my mind around that. And to think, I mean, the G factor alone, you would have to have something, well, of course, if there's no gravity at that point, but you got to be able to reach that point. So from 0 to 7 miles a second, there's going to be some major G-force there, no doubt about it. I don't think a human body could stand that. You'd almost have to be anti-gravity before you reach that particular speed. But that's my thought. I don't know. It's crazy. He said, my connection is getting flaky. Yeah, it happens. Don't ask me why. I don't know if it's Facebook or, you know, what's going on. I know there's a lot of changes lately they've been doing. And a lot of it I really don't care for, but hopefully they'll get it together. Let's see here. Andre says, yes, I've heard that UFOs bend the space that's around it, and therefore it looks like it jumps from one location to another. Yeah, and that's the thing. I've heard them being so slow, you know. Of course, the one I've seen, you know, the biggest one that I've seen was actually levitating. It was just sitting, it wasn't moving at all. No sound, no money. And when I went to yell at my sister to look up, and when I pointed upward to it, it was gone. So, you know, just that quick. Now, some people had suggested to me that it could have been, you know, some type of camouflage or a hologram, something of that nature, or an invisible shield that they put down. You know, they're still there, but you can't see them. Who knows, you know? But Doc says, I think it's more on my end than Facebook. Yeah, you never know. You never know. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions and a lot of things that nobody really seems to understand, and we really doesn't have a definite answer for. I'm not a physics person, so, you know, I wish I knew more about the mathematics side of it to be able to try and figure some of that out. But It's crazy. Jarn Thomason? It's hard to read that, I'm sorry. The way it's built, it compulses you within the vehicle in ways you don't feel nothing because you are part of the vehicle. Okay, that's cool. Entering stealth mode. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, but how do you see, there's got to be some kind of a anti-gravity something or other inside of the vehicle in order to, you know, keep it comfortable. I mean, I can't imagine them being able to, you know, do that kind of maneuvering without your body feeling. I mean, it's, I don't know. Of course, technology, their technology is way, way, way beyond our kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm sure there's got to be an answer to it, you know. Got to be an answer to it. But we know they're there. We've seen them, you know. Well, a lot of people have seen them anyway. No doubt in my mind. So, but it just makes you wonder, you know, what it is that keeps them going. But I just thought I'd bring that up, though. 7 miles a second. You know, it's that is something. Of course, I did. Yeah, we got the meteor shower coming up this weekend. And then right after that is going to be the total solar eclipse. Last night or night before, they had the partial lunar eclipse, which was seen in Australia and different other places. I don't know if any of you have been able to catch the moon lately. You know, we just had the full moon a couple nights ago. And some of the people were saying how orange it was and stuff. And the reason why is because of that lunar eclipse that they had on the other side of the Earth there. And what you're seeing is basically the sun's reflection on the moon, which gives it that orangey, reddish kind of glow to it, which is pretty cool. Awesome looking deal. Pedro says, coming back from Boston, I saw one and it just disappeared, but I think it became invisible to the naked eye. Let's see here. Some military helicopters were searching for it and never saw it. And when they were gone, it just reappeared. Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier with that type of cloaking device or something. I don't know what you call it. Some type of anti-acceleration tech. Yeah, it could be, Doc. Very well could be. Andre says, Robert Lazar claimed that the USA had lots of... I can't even pronounce that word. Unimpentium in solid state fuel element, which has never, ever been documented before. It has only been made in very small amounts in gas form. For a few seconds before decay in laboratories. I find Robert's fact hard to believe. Yeah. I don't know. I remember Bob Lazar back when, he did his big thing, you know, in the 70s. And, but I'll give him this. They did prove that he worked at Area 51, and he did take him out there and showed them, you know, that particular day, a particular night, at a particular time, and sure enough, you know, there were UFOs, and they witnessed it, they filmed it, so, you know, pretty crazy stuff. Yes, Yarn says, yes, the way it is built is surrounding the vehicle, so the electromagnet creates its own gravity so you control camouflage or drive. Yeah, and that's kind of what Bob Lazar was talking about too, but I forget what the name of that thing was he was talking about, reverse engineering, that they had him working on. There was a particular name for it, and I can't think off the top of my head now what it was called. But I don't know. a lot of people speculated it was some type of a nuclear reactor or whatever. But I don't see, I just can't see them using nuclear for fuel, you know. I don't know. It would have to be something that could be regenerated over and over and over again. You know, so it definitely wouldn't be something that, you know, like a fossil fuel or anything like that. It would definitely have to be something electrical or, I don't know, something that could regenerate itself, you know. It's a substance that are rare, yeah. But I'm sure there's a lot of secret manufacturing of stuff like this. Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't doubt that a bit. I wouldn't doubt that a bit. Of course, now, I always had a thing about mercury. Now, I don't know what the chemical breakdown of mercury and stuff is anyway, but I always figured, you know, if you remember when they went into that Chinese pyramid that time, they found all those soldiers and that carved out of clay, and they found that river of mercury. And there's certain pyramids that they've opened up, you know, around the world, and certain Mayan temples and whatever had traces of mercury and different things like that. And I often wondered if mercury wasn't part of, you know, this. He says, but I'm sure there's a lot of secret manufacturing of stuff like this. Yeah, it's in color. UFOs are like fish. Cool. yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I wish a lot smarter mathematically and whatever. Which, you know, brings me to another thing. I don't know why, with all these geniuses, that somebody hasn't actually sat down and figured this out yet, you know. It's crazy. Andre says the nuclear fuel were generated from plutonium, which generated antimatter. When antimatter and matter reacts, pure energy is formed. This is 100% the most effective energy production. Someone ever, let's see here, could imagine. Yeah. Pedro says, be right back. Okay, buddy. You talking about plutonium? Is that what you're talking about, Andre? And that's kind of a rare thing to find also. I mean, that's not something that you can just go out and dig up any place. It's only made in very, very few places in the world. so, very expensive stuff. Let's see here. Wanted to Well, there we go. Greetings from Australia. How you doing, Yarn? Yeah, a buddy of mine also, Colin, I don't know if you know him or not, but he's also from Australia. And he's usually on the show every so often. A lot of times he calls in and talks. A very, very smart individual. Titanium is the element with the atomic number of 115. It's even rarer than plutonium. It has only been made it's only been made synthetically to this day. Okay, cool. I've never heard of it. Wow. Huh. I'll have to look into that. Did you, Andre, ever find out what that other story was you were looking for? I was just telling folks here before you came in about the Bob White story that I sent you, and it wound up not being the one you were looking for. But good story all the same. Yeah. I was just kind of curious. I've looked all over, and I don't have any idea. Speaking of the eclipse, Doc says, I'm right in the path of totality. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. You going to be able to take pictures of it, Doc, or you going to do anything like that? I think that'd be awesome. So I'm up here in the Northland, up here in Minnesota, so it's only going to be a partial eclipse for us, unfortunately. Andre says Bob White's piece was actually bigger than the one I was talking about, LOL. Yeah, quite the story, though, huh? That happened a long time ago. And what's fascinating about it is the fact that he actually passed the polygraph test and stuff like that. But there is still a lot of people out there that debunk it. You know, they claim that, it's just metal shavings from some type of machine shop or whatever that was folded together, you know, however it was put together. And then there's other places that say, no, there's elements that, you know, aren't from Earth and, you know, crazy. Doc says going to drag my scope out and get some pictures, hopefully. Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Yeah, I'm going to be working that day, so, you know, that's going to be kind of sucky for me. But I'm outside, so, you know, it's okay. I'll just jump outside the shovel and, you know, watch it. Andre says, I tried searching for the episode of the show, but I couldn't find it. Google wouldn't help either. Yeah, you know, funny. Sometimes I know what I'm looking for and I'll Google it or I'll talk to Google, you know, you can ask Google now, you know, and, sometimes it comes up with all kind of crazy stuff and nothing what you're looking for. So I don't know. they haven't got this thing quite, debugged yet, I don't think, but then other times it surprises you and it brings up exactly what you're looking for. So. Yeah, kind of funny. A lot of talk lately about the old satellites and stuff that NASA sent up years ago and how they're still working. Pretty amazing. Trying to find Doc says I'm feeling lucky. Yeah, no kidding. Andre says maybe the government is trying to hide it from the majority. LOL. You know, it's funny. Anytime something like that happens, you always get those conspiracy people that think something like that. You know, but it's the government hiding it from us. You know, I have to laugh. Yeah. pretty funny. Oh, let's see here. Doc says, how about that rover still going on Mars? Yeah, ain't that something that's, what, 5 years old now? It was supposed to end over a year ago. It was supposed to have died out. And damn thing's still going. I forget now. Wasn't there two of them at one time or something? I can't remember now. One of them had a bad wheel or something. And I got stuck, and I think the dust covered up the panels or something, and it finally died or something. Gosh, I can't remember the whole thing behind that now. But yeah, that one's still going strong, which is amazing, you know, really amazing. I think. Like I mentioned the other day, how people will talk about that Mars rover in the pictures that they get. Well, not the new one, the one I'm talking about, Opportunity. How about that rover still going on Mars? The one I'm talking about, Opportunity. Yeah, Opportunity. Isn't that the old one? The one that's like five or six years old now or something? Isn't that the same one? Now, but anyway, what I was going to say was I think it's ironic how people will talk about the rover and the pictures and everything on Mars, but they still don't believe that we went to the moon, you know? Even though it took us, you know, 5 months to get to Mars, you know, it's kind of funny. Yeah, the new one is Curiosity. Right, right. Yeah. Okay. Yep. 11 years running. Ain't that something? Hello, Randy. How are you, sir? Has it been that long? I was thinking it was only like 5 or 6 years. 11 years. Wow, that's crazy. But I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's a good thing. You know, it's, it is awesome. Just goes to show you what we can do, you know. Spirit and Opportunity are the ones that have been up there for 11 years. Okay, gotcha. But the Spirit was the one that died off pretty quick, right? Wasn't that the one that got the bad wheel or something and couldn't move? I remember something like that happening. It was dragging its foot around or something, you know, and it wound up dying out or something because the solar panels got covered up or something. I can't remember the whole story behind it. It's been so long now. Good. Thank you, Randy. I know I just seen something here. Trying to find it. It was about a new dinosaur that they found, and I'm not. I don't want to misinterpret it or misexplain it. I'm not sure how long ago it was found, but they got it all together. Randy says it got stuck in soft soil. Yeah, but I remember that. Something else happened where the wheel itself got broke or it locked up or something. So it could only turn one way or something. I forget. It was like it was going around in a circle or some damn thing like that. I'll have to check that out. But Anyway, this dinosaur, is, they gave it a name, and I can't tell you what the name. Okay, Doc says, yeah, it had been dragging one wheel, but still going for, he thinks, 9 years before it got into the sand drift that got stuck. Yeah, it was down to five wheels. Okay. I knew it was something like that. Yeah. But still, hats off to NASA and them guys. I mean, when they build something, you know, and it's incredible, when you think about the people that are working there and doing this kind of work, the mindset that you have, you know, to come up with this stuff and for it to last as long as it has, it's just remarkable, you know. The JPL folks had it running in reverse. Oh, there you go. Cool. But anyway, this dinosaur, it's bigger than the Brontosaurus. It wound up being 120 feet long from tip of the nose to the tail. And it's got a really long, long neck like a Brontosaurus. Pretty huge. And I thought I kept that article separate, but apparently I didn't. Andre says, I think Robert Lazar was mentioned at the outer shell. Was plated in lead to protect the interior of the craft from powerful X-rays being formed from the ionization of the air. On the outside of the craft. Then my question is, how would the people witness UFO from the outside turn blind? LOL. Yeah. How wouldn't the people witnessing the UFO from the outside turn blind? Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. These conspiracy theorists that claim that we've never been to the moon and stuff, you know, that's one of their biggest things is, oh, they never made it through, you know, the radiation belts and through the asteroid belts and stuff like that, you know. Don't kid yourself, folks. You know, they found spots that it's very minute, you know, and they literally went right through it, no problem. The same way we got to Mars with the worst and everything else, you know. The ionization of the air makes the craft appear glowing. Well, that's a pretty cool idea. Yeah. That makes sense. Now, my question is, though, I don't know. Do you think that extraterrestrials, and I don't know about all of them, you know, I know how the grays work and whatever, but do you think most of them have abilities to breathe our air and oxygen and stuff, or do you think they're all mechanical, you know, or something different? You know, we've had these kind of discussions before, and I've never really quite figured it out, you know. Doc says, I saw the moonings all on TV when they happened. Yeah, me too. I actually lived in Florida at the time. Of course, that's where I had my visitation at back in the 70s. I was just going into junior high school, and I lived an hour from Orlando, and from where we lived in a little town called Auburn, which is outside of Winter Haven and Lakeland, Florida, if you ever heard of those two towns. We were like in between, but you could actually, our TV was in the front living room, and I could actually stand in the doorway, half my body outside and half my body inside, and I could watch the rocket as the rocket went up in the air. Of course, it was quite a ways away, but you could still tell it was a rocket. And I could watch it on TV at the same time, so I'm watching both, at the, you know, as it lifted off. and as it's on TV. You know, it was pretty crazy. And well, you and I are the same age. Yeah, pretty close to it, I would think. Yeah. Andre says, I think they are organic just like us, but they definitely seem to handle much high doses of radiation. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if they can actually handle more radiation or anything else. I'm sure their crafts and stuff are just like ours, that, you know, they probably got heat shields on them and, you know, some type of protectant thing from the radiation belts, you know, and whatever. Yeah. But, I mean, we've been through them how many times now, and we've sent multiple, you know, rockets to them and different satellites and telescopes, and everything's functioning just fine. Nothing's failed yet because of it, so, you know. But there's those people that say, ain't happening. It's all bullshit, you know. So every Hubble telescope picture you see is fake, and every, you know, everything is just fake. That's a sad way of going through life, I'm afraid. But are you still with us? I was going to ask you about this posting that you had on here about the Courtesy rover finding a pyramid on Mars. I hear a lot about that stuff, you know, and a lot of times I just kind of skip through it, but Doc says he'll be right back. Okay, Doc. Wow. You still owe Tim tonight. Wow, that's amazing. I wonder what happened. He was kind of upset he didn't make it last night. I got to ask you guys something, get your insight. You know, you hear a lot about global warming and how the polar ice caps are melting, and you see these videos and stuff like that of these icebergs that are just falling apart into the ocean, yada, yada, yada. And I guess my question would be to you guys, do you actually think that it's global warming, or do you actually think that it's still the end of the ice age? You know, are we still going through that process? That would be my theory on this. I'm not a big global warming theorist person on here, but I honestly believe that that we haven't seen the end of the ice age yet, and I honestly believe that that's what's going on there. And you know, a lot of them polar ice caps and stuff are melting off because, you know, that's what they're supposed to do. Now, I may be wrong, but just thought I'd ask, you know, see what you guys just thought. Andre says, I've also heard that the alien beings located inside S4 came from a specific planet, galaxy, or solar system, but I can't remember the name. Okay. Yeah, and you know, I hear about different things like that a lot, too. The Pleiades. What's that one star there on Orion's belt, that one in the center? You know, I hear they come from there a lot. Different other things. Who's to say for sure, you know? I guess the next question would be, how are they getting here, and how quick do they get here? and wormholes, or are they closer than we think? You know, they come from Mars or possibly Jupiter or Neptune or one of these other places. You know, who knows? You know, I often thought about that. I even wondered, you know, if there was something maybe on the planet Mercury, you know, and that they're really not that far away, that, you know, they're not light years away, that they're actually within our grasp. And, you know, it may take them a year to get here or even 6 months or whatever, but, you know, they're close enough that they can do it. I often wondered about that, but that's just me, you know. I just try to keep things in perspective because I'm thinking, you know, if I'm, you know, if I'm extraterrestrial, I'm not going to, you know. Pedro says, actually, every morning before I go to work, I watch the weather report. And it amazes me that they always say this day in 1946, the record was, and it's warmer back then. Yeah, ain't that the truth? And that's the thing I don't understand what they're talking about when they say global warming. Well, you know, I live here in Minnesota, and quite honestly, we have not had a very warm summer at all this year. We've been below normal. I mean, we had our, you know, maybe a week, 2 weeks in the 80s or whatever. But we have not had, well, matter of fact, we're just now getting our rain. We're a little bit behind. But these last few days have been kind of rainy and whatever. But, you know, Andre says, do you believe they communicate through telepathy? Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the reason why I say that is because my visitation, that's how we communicated. Definitely through telepathy. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm not saying they all do, but I know the Grays do. Well, the ones that I know of, anyway. That's for sure. And according to most abductees who encounter the Grays, all say the same thing. So, yeah, pretty crazy. And quite honestly, Andre, you know, when you really stop and think about it, we as humans were actually slow ourselves down, do a little bit of meditation and actually work our minds more. I actually believe we could probably communicate with each other telepathically. I really do. I don't think we would need a voice to communicate. But the problem is we as humans, we won't slow our stuff down long enough to work with it, you know. Pedro says, how is this summer? It's been around the 80s all the time in the New York metropolitan area. Yeah. Oh, Sharon, how are you, dear? Let's see, she's with us. Andre says, then they got to have clean minds, LOL. Yeah. Sharon says, hey, you're on. I'm watching, listening. Yeah. Yeah, we got about a half an hour left, Sharon. Pedro says, when I was abducted, they always talked to me telepathically. Yeah. Now, Pedro, I was going to ask you, I know it's been a very long time since we've talked and stuff. Now, was yours the Grays also that you had your visitation with, or was it somebody else? Sharon says, okay, cooking. Cool. What are you having, Sharon? Something good, I hope. Pedro says, I met three different. Really? I did not know that. Wow. Can you tell us what they were? What the three were? Doc says, we were in the hundreds here 1st of July. Wow. Yeah, and that's funny because everybody south of me was 90s and 100s. People east of me out towards Chicago, Pennsylvania, New York area, they were in the 90s and the 100s. Here I am, central United States in the north, and we got nothing, really. Greys, reptilians, and the other was Nordic. Nordics. Well, I thank you very much. Funny how they gave her a British. Is that British or Australian accent? I don't know. Kind of sounds British. Peter says Nordic looking. Wow. Sharon's having barbecue chicken, rice, spinach, and alien pie. Sounds good. Except for the spinach. I'm not a big green eater, but, you know. cool. That's funny. Alien pie. I've never really heard of that. I was trying to find out. Oh my goodness, that is so weird that I can't find that. Andre says maybe they are communicating with a sound higher pitched than human ears cannot register. Pedro says the only friendly was the Nordic looking. Really? Now, see, people say that to me, and quite honestly, I didn't have any problem with the Greys other than when I first seen them, you know. And then I was scared to death, but after a few minutes, you know, whatever, they told me, you know, be calm, everything's going to be okay. My fear subsided, and I didn't have a bit of problem. Of course, I was, you know, like I said, I was only 12 years old, but, yeah, the Greys were kind of indifferent, yeah. And the reptilians were very aggressive and mean. Now, I've heard that before by other people, that the reptilians are the nastiest ones. Yeah. And the tall whites, I guess, from what I understand, they are very friendly, very curious people. You know, and it's amazing, too. I forget how many species there are that they claim there are. I think there's like 80 of them or something like that. And there's a long list of different species, including Bigfoot, Yeti, you know, they can be part of the alien race also. So you have seen Greys. I haven't heard that before. Can you tell a little bit about your story? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when I was 12 years old, of course, things happened long before that, but when I was 12 years old, we lived in Central Florida, about an hour away from Orlando. Well, I'll make a long story short. I seen a UFO up close and personal. It was probably, I don't know, 15, 20 feet off the ground, maybe a little higher than that. It was above the tree that was across the road from us. We were playing ball with a little girl, and I just happened to look up, and here's this craft sitting there right above an oak tree, and had a bunch of windows across the side of it, and that is almost like you could almost see them looking at you. But I actually didn't see any figures, but there's a lot of windows in it and stuff like that, a pretty good-sized craft. And like I stated earlier, I turned around to holler at my sister to point up at it, for her to look, and when we both turned around to look, it had disappeared. No noise, no nothing. And it freaked us, you know, it freaked me out, and of course, you know, it freaked her out because I was freaked out. So we went back across the street to our house and waited for, you know, our parents to come home. They were out grocery shopping at the time. When they got home, you know, I tried to tell them what I seen and stuff like that. My dad, you know, he just blew it off, kind of laughed at me, whatever. You know, that was pretty much all that was said about it. Later that evening, I went to sleep. You know, I went to bed. I shared a room with my brother. We had bunk beds. He was on the top. I was on the bottom. And I would say somewhere, I'm going to say after midnight, give or take. Reason why I say that is because my father and them, you know, they would always stay up for the late show and the news and stuff. And everybody was in bed. But anyway, when I woke up, the light in the bedroom was on, which was never done. And there was three grays standing around my bed. And I tried to holler for my mom and dad, and I couldn't talk. Couldn't holler. I couldn't move. Just totally paralyzed, freaking out. Why I didn't have a heart attack, I have no idea. Broke out in a sweat. Did everything I could, you know. And they told me, hey, they even called me by my name. You know, they knew my name. They said, Clarence, you know, you'll be okay. Just calm down. Everything's fine. No need to worry. You know, we're not here to harm you and whatever. And just like that, you know, I got a calming sensation. And everything was fine. Like I say in my story, I know that they took me someplace, but as far as where or what or anything like that, I have no recollection of what happened. The only part I do remember is when I first spotted them, you know, when they were first in my room. Other than that, the last thing I remember was telling them not to break the glass case underneath the window as we went out, because Dad would be pretty pissed, you know. And that's the last I remember of anything about that. So it's pretty much it. Okay. Sharon says, have you ever figured out what the interest was in your abductions? You know, I don't know why I was chosen, unless it was just a freak thing that happened. They just happened to be flying around and spotted us out there in the yard. And they chose me. I don't know. I was 12 years old at the time when that happened. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there was some good things that came out of that also, like I explained, a few times. And it's even wrote down. You can read the story. It's in the files section of the Alien Group page there. And you can read it. But I was gifted with certain gifts as a youngster growing up. Animal magnetism, you know, I can walk into the woods and stuff and have wild animals come up and, you know, sniff me and not be afraid of me. Different things like that. Wild and domestic, actually. Things like that. Empathy was really heightened. It was great. Has to be specific. Yeah, absolutely. Randy says they don't want me. I had never, ever seen them or anything. I have traveled from the West Coast to live in Texas hunting, and I still haven't seen a single thing, but I am about to buy me a full, full spectrum camera. I hope that changes things. Yeah, and you know, here's the thing, Randy, and it's like I tell a lot of people. Of course, in the 70s, it was a hot time. Well, basically from the 60s into the 70s, it was a really hot time for UFOs and abductions and cattle mutilations and all kind of bizarre stuff was going on. Crop circles was happening. For those of you that are around my age, you're maybe a little older, maybe you can remember a lot of this stuff that was going on. It was just on fire. The UFO phenomena was just freaking huge. You can't really explain it. And for that to happen to me, you know, I'm not saying that I'm special or anything like that. I think it was just a chance that happened, a chance encounter. And I think that's what it is with a lot of people. I think it's just chances, you know, a chance encounter. You just happen to be in that particular spot when they're doing their trolling or whatever, and, you know, there you are. And I think once they mark you, and that's it. I often believed for many years that they were tracking me because I have had lost time and different things like that has happened, weird things that I just can't really explain, you know, throughout my lifetime. Now that I'm older, not so much. I haven't had any kind of contact or any kind of, thing going on. I still have a little bit of ESP. And basically all that is, and I think a lot of people have it, it's like I'll think of a television show. You know, if I'm driving down the road or something, and I'll think of a television show or something or whatever, and within the next day or two, it'll be on TV. You know, that kind of thing. And it's kind of weird, an awakening when it happens. Like, there it is again. You know, and again, that kind of really weird. Andre says, I wish to see both. UFOs and aliens one day, but not through an abduction, LOL. Yeah. Doc says, I believe in UFOs my whole life, but never actually seen one. Yeah. Randy Lee says, I meant to say East Coast. Sorry. Andre, deja vu. We had a couple of discussions about deja vu. And, you know, that's a really tricky subject. When you talk about that, some people believe that it's kind of a jump in time, like a time travel kind of thing. Other people think that it's a post regression kind of thing, you know, that maybe it's an identical deal that you actually did. And, you know, it's just so similar that, you know, it's kind of connecting with each other. Other people feel that it's part of the Matrix syndrome, you know, where, we're living in a dimensional world and you somehow, you know, cross that path and, you know, there's a lot to it, a lot to it. Very, very intriguing topic. Pedro says, in my experience, it wasn't something I wanted or wished for. Yeah, same thing, Pedro. I didn't ask for it. Matter of fact, at that age, we had movies, shows on TV called like Lost in Space, if anybody remembers that, with Will Robertson and them people, you know, the Robinson family. Not a whole lot of real, I'm not sure if Star Trek, maybe Star Trek was out then. I can't really remember that far back if it was out yet, but I think it was. But not a whole lot, you know. Sharon says, I have seen ESP2. Well, I have some ESP2. More like an awareness of presence, like forever with me. Yeah, absolutely. Pedro says, I didn't want to strain your eyes. That's why it's in big letters. That's fine. That's fine. I do that a lot. I squint anyway. So Andre says, I've heard that abduction often lead to, severe anxiety from the victim's side. Jeremy says, one of the oddities. Absolutely. Doc Danger, Will Robinson. Star Trek, mid-60s. Yeah, okay, absolutely. Daniel Will Robinson with a robot. Pretty funny. Pedro says, never in my case. Yeah, anxiety and stuff, you know, that's the thing. I kept quiet about it my whole life. It wasn't only, 4 or 5 years ago that I actually opened up and I sat down and talked to my mother about it for the very first time. She had no idea. Well, nobody did. I never talked about it. Now, if you remember the other abduction cases, which I mentioned a couple nights ago, the Betty and Barney Hill abduction case, you know, that happened in the 60s. Travis Walton, that was the one that I couldn't remember the guy's name. They made the movie Fire in the Sky. That was another big abduction case. He disappeared for 4 or 5 days, maybe longer. Big case. Crazy stuff. Pedro says, yeah, I also kept it a secret for over 20 years. Yeah, and you know, and it's funny because you don't know, well, you know, you're just afraid of what people will say about it and about you and whatever. nobody likes to be laughed at and mocked about and whatever. So, yeah. Matter of fact, I kind of put it in the back of my mind as a bad dream. And it wasn't until I was much older and a television program came on, and I just happened to sit down, and I was right in the middle, of this particular program, like In Search Of or one of them deals. And this particular person, this gentleman, was talking about alien abduction and how his abduction happened and so on and so forth. And his abduction was 100% mirror image of mine. It was just so uncanny. Everything that happened was just like mine. Everything. And I knew right then and there, that moment, that I had 100% total recall, and I had 100% total confirmation. So it does happen. It wasn't something I dreamed of or anything like that. It was a true live event, you know. And so it wasn't until after that that I really started getting into searching about abduction cases, and that's when I ran across these other ones and, you know, started, you know, finding out what was going on and blah, blah, blah. And I had no idea at that time that there were that many people claiming to have been abducted and had visitations and different things like that. It was just uncanny. And I'm not talking 10 or 12 or 20. I'm talking hundreds. And not just in the U.S., all around the world. And it was just crazy. Andre says, but I understand the anxiety part. No one wants to be tracked or stalked and basically teleported telepathic creatures. Yeah, absolutely. Sharon says, Betty and Barney were intense. Travis scared. Those hive combs. Yeah. did you get hypnotized? Recall Clarence. No, you know, Sharon, that's the problem with this, and I've heard people that's gone and had hypnotism done to get total recall. But my mind works so differently than other people that I honestly don't believe that I can be hypnotized. Now, I may be totally wrong on that, but because my brain is just so active 24/7, even in my sleep, I honestly don't think it could work. Not on me. Who knows? You know. But I often thought about it. I actually thought about maybe one day, you know, seeing if I can't get it done. But there again, who do you go to? I mean, you know, who can you trust? I don't know, you know. Good question. But yeah, that's my story. But if you read, if you want to read the whole thing from when I was younger, and had other UFO sightings and stuff like that, you know, you can catch that, my write-up that I did. It's in the file section in the Indian group page. Just under files, and you'll see my story. That's one I think it's been rewritten, you know, a couple, three times or whatever. But it's in there. So, and you can read my whole background about it. The number three pops up a lot. I recognize that, and I kind of, you know, put that in there. Crazy stuff, you know. My sister had a talk with a grandfather of mine that she never met. I never met. He was dead before I was born. And, of course, I'm older than her. Different things like that has happened in the family, this weird stuff. Sharon, glad I can connect with others via you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Andre, three is my favorite number, LOL. Yeah, well, three seems to be one of the universal numbers for whatever reason. And I never understood it. It's pretty crazy. Pedro says, hey, Clarence, have you heard from Matthew? Just thought of him. From time to time, yes. Matter of fact, he was just online earlier today. I'm not sure if he's on now or not. I can't really see that side of the computer, but he's got a new website up and running now, which is pretty cool. But yeah, he's in and out. We need to get him back on the show one time, too. He's pretty awesome to talk to. But yeah, that's cool. Eight has been stuck in my head since I was a child. I'll call it my favorite number, and that's from Randy Lee. Number eight, huh? Wow. You know, I don't know if there's a significance between numbers and people, you know, if there's a personal thing with that. I tell you what's weird, and I'll give you a quick rundown why I say three is the number. There's three of us children. We lived in three different states as I was growing up. Every house that we moved into had three bedrooms. yeah, that kind of stuff. So it was always three, three, three. Everything was three. Pretty crazy stuff. Well, only about, I'm getting down to about the 2 warning here. So won't be long here. We'll be boogie. my next show, I may have said it, but better than 666. Can't get that truth. But that's coming, buddy. That's coming. You know. Randy says, when I ask for directions, people tend to say it's 8 miles down the road. Wow, ain't that something? Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, my next show will be, hopefully will be Monday night, coming up. I'm working the next 4 day shifts, 12 hour shifts. So, you know, by the time I get home, it's already after 6 o'clock and, I'm pretty well beat. I usually eat and go right to bed. So, you know, that's the way it goes. Okay. Pedro says, it's been nice talking to you, my friend. Yes, you too. Absolutely. Sharon says, time. Yep, there we go. 90 seconds. Time is immense factor locked in out of time with. Yes. Pedro says, and the others take care of you all. Okay. Well, I'm going to say goodnight myself to everybody. I am happy you're with us, Sharon and Pedro and Andre and Randy and Doc and everybody. I'm really, really glad you guys are here. I got a minute left, which is going to give me time to shut it down. But like I said, our next show, of course, I always send invites and I always post it throughout the groups and stuff so you guys know. Randy said, good show, friend. I hope to catch another. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Yes, Monday night, 6 o'clock. So keep an eye out and I'll keep everybody updated and posted. And I really do thank you all. So good evening, everybody. Peace out. I want to thank you all for listening to Closer Encounters. Please remember to like, follow, and share. And until we meet again, keep your eyes to the skies. Thank you.